I feel like there might be some middle ground between, like, I like this person too, I'm sending you to the dark space.
Not on Tinder, there ain't.
Welcome to episode 131 of Rhythm Encounter, the RPG Fan Music Podcast, releasing on today, a very special day of 2024. We have an interesting topic today that we've never done before, and I'm excited to bring it to you. But first, I want to introduce my panel today. Joining me is Hillary.
Hi.
With a very short introduction. And Kyle.
All the trainers in the club.
You really did do it. All right. And
lyrics credit Hillary Endrum.
Oh, yes. Those are your lyrics, huh? Last but never least, Wes is here as well.
Hi, everybody.
I feel like I may have introduced you or someone else as last but never least before, but I don't care. It's always accurate. All right. Well,
I feel special.
Thank you all. You are. Thank you all for being here. This is a very important, sort of a bonus episode of Rhythm, since we had an episode last week, and we'll have one next week. But we thought today, on April 1st, was a great day to talk about some very special songs to all of us, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. These are
short and sweet songs, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, these are core memories, if, you know. We talk about the capacity for music to lock in memories of pivotal moments. Well, this delves into that territory.
Yeah, you know, we love RPGs and their big, sweeping, grand, you know, final boss themes and you know, stuff like that. Like, all those things are very important. But, you know, sometimes we need to celebrate the smaller tracks, the shorter tracks, and the very short tracks. And the exceptionally short tracks that, you know, also make up these great worlds that we love to inhabit. So we have eight songs for you today, and we're going to mix it up a little bit today. We're actually just going to have everyone have their own block, which we do once in a while. So all four of us are going to introduce our two songs, and then we'll discuss them a little bit. I don't think we need much more of an intro than that. It's pretty straightforward, right? We're just going to talk about some cool, like, short little tracks that we like, and go from there. So if we're ready, which I don't know about you all, but I am ready. Yep. Wes, if you want to introduce yours. Actually, you know what? Should we even introduce them? Or should we just go into the music and then come and talk about them after?
Maybe we just roll into them and then name them after the fact.
Cold That's open. Love it.
I love that. All right. Well, we're going to start here with Wes's tracks. So, you know, get a drink, sit back and listen.
Prepare to be amazed.
Yeah, and we'll be back in a little while to talk about these songs.
Now, the first song that you heard was the level up theme from the Dragon Quest series, which is really core to the series ideas and kind of what the series is built around. Because it's this game that they wanted to make so that anyone could play. Regardless of your skill level. And the way that they do that is the lever, which is leveling. If you level up enough, you can get through anything. That's the basic rule of Dragon Quest. And the level up sound is this Pavlovian response generating song that it brings you joy. After a certain point, it is just a joyful song. If you put it as a phone ringtone, you will get that same Pavlovian response. You will get excited about getting text messages. I speak from experience.
I bet you do.
It's unsurprising.
Life hack.
But it's been there since the very beginning, pretty much unchanged through every entry of Dragon Quest, including most of the spinoffs. And I'm interested to hear how this touched the rest of you, really.
I don't mind jumping in. I'm still pretty new to RPG Fan, and so I think I'm able to still be in the background. I don't know if anybody knows that I really don't have a lot of Dragon Quest experience. I feel like it's a like my greatest secret right now. That being said, I know what that sound is, and I know exactly what it means. And so I think that really speaks to just how important that song is, how instrumental it is, like you said, Wes, to how almost like not quite genre defining, but definitely almost series defining. And, you know, as somebody who really doesn't have a lot of Dragon Quest experience, the fact that I just can connect with that song right away and know exactly what it means, to me kind of says all I need to say just for me personally.
And I think it's not too much of a stretch to say that it's genre defining, really, because it's establishing one of the main conventions of a lot of RPGs, right? Which is kind of the triumphant fanfare, if you will.
Yeah.
When you level, or celebration when you level up.
I really do like looking at that as a celebration, like you said, because that's really what it is. It's celebrating that you've hit a milestone and celebrating that things are about to get a little bit easier and celebrating the game, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, my Dragon Quest experience is more limited than I would like, which at the moment is several hours of Dragon Quest 1 and untold number of hours in both Dragon Quest Builders games. So I have heard that tune many a time in Builders, even though leveling is, well, it's important in Builders, maybe not as much as certain other things, but it still brings that same feeling of accomplishment. And yes, well, I can do more now. I have more health.
It's a growth mindset.
It is a growth mindset.
From a musical perspective, anything that can be performed like with a blaring horn, pretty much in for. Like, that sounds so obnoxiously optimistic coming off a trumpet or a bugle. Like, I'm here for it.
Well, unless Hillary wants to throw out some more like life coach buzzwords, like life hack, and yeah.
Or some instrument I've never heard of.
Oh, yeah, there's usually that. Well, I want to hear this performed on a euphonium.
You know what? To all my dating app people out there, put this on as your notification for when that person you're really interested in messages you back.
There you go.
Let me tell you.
It is the secret to success in dating. Yes.
You level up enough times, you can achieve anything.
That's true, and that's... The association is only going to intensify as you get more messages. So it's like it's reinforcing.
That's true.
So the second experience that you heard was the sound of the Judgment Ring hit from the Shadow Hearts series. Specifically, this one came from Shadow Hearts Covenant, I believe. And it's such an identifying element of the Shadow Hearts series. You think Shadow Hearts, you think the Judgment Ring. Whether you're using it to fight or to shop or to play the lottery, there's any number of things that involve using the Judgment Ring, especially in the first game where things like opening a manhole cover require special Judgment Ring hits.
Oh my god, yep.
But that sound is so snappy and so satisfying that I never get tired of that success. It always gives me the little almost ASMR tingles. Whenever that sound goes off,
I can see
that snap.
Especially because just the way the Judgment Ring is set up and the spin rate, the sound really contributes to the atmosphere of like, okay, I gotta hit it at the exact right time and get a strike.
And it rewards you for that. The sound effects reward you every bit as much as the gameplay does.
Yep.
As someone who has not played the Shadow Hearts games and has only played some of Kadelka, you know what I like about it is that even not having played the game or experiencing it outside of like seeing videos, it's a very satisfying sound. And I don't know that we often give enough credit to that in games, because for something you're going to hear a lot, like you want it to be satisfying for this kind of thing, for getting a good hit or whatever. You know what I mean? Good placement on the ring. I'm just saying it's important.
It is.
Satisfying soundscapes and sound effects are very important for making you feel like you accomplished something.
And I mean, honestly, this sound effect is how I learned to use all the different characters, because that's the feedback to know, like when you're hitting the correct sections of the ring correctly, and each character's ring is a little bit different.
I was going to ask that. I didn't know if the ring was different based on character or equipment or what.
Yeah, each character kind of has their own rhythm.
Yep, exactly. And that's how you know you got it right. That sound effect gives you the feedback.
Sound is such a powerful tool in that sense. I'm thinking ahead to some of our other songs that we have on here today. And just what you said, Mike, about how often those things have to happen or are scheduled to happen or you want to happen, and how awful that would be if those sounds weren't enjoyable, or as kind of Wes hinted at, like Pavlovian. And I think that that's just a really smart point to make, where these are things that you're going to be hearing often, and for them to be enjoyable is so underrated.
Not to mention the amount of work that goes into determining that, and just the sheer like number and different types of sound effects and exactly what would be satisfying that way.
Yeah, I really do sometimes, like when really talking and getting into details about something like this, like the idea of the world of sound design is very fascinating. Like every once in a while, I'll see like a clip of people, you know, making sounds for games or movies or whatever, and like the things they use. Like when I was younger, I remember the first time I saw them like wobbling a sheet of metal. It's like, this is how we make thunder. And it was just like blew my mind at the time. And just the different tools they use for that. And then like games, like, I don't know how I would exactly describe this, or how you would like decide like, oh, this is the sound. It's just, I don't know. It's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
And especially when you get into like synthesized stuff, like it can literally just sound be anything. So like, how do you decide and how do you make it like have that effect so well? But they do.
You've got to know, right? I have to imagine like how many sound effects or songs or sounds that people are looking for. When you hit it, I think you just kind of have to know, which probably does no one any favors when you're trying to find it.
Well, that's why you hire talented people.
And have lots of experience, I feel like, teaches you maybe what's likely to work.
Yeah.
But yeah. We'll get into a little bit more of that with one of my picks.
Oh, good segue.
Are we ready?
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
I think this is a good time to dive right in.
All right. Well, we are going to just cold open into my selections in that case.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go listen to...
Aha! All right. So welcome to some ridiculous wizard nonsense. I feel like that just needs to be represented in our selections today. I'm sure many of us spend our time in open world kind of games. I'm sure all of us have been exposed to ridiculous wizard nonsense. And I just always really, really enjoyed the sound effects in Might and Magic 6 as far as those kind of games go. So this is the sound for the Wizard Eye spell from that game, which really it is just kind of an identification spell that puts doors, enemies, treasure, traps, that kind of stuff on your map, which you do want to have up all the time, which means you're hearing the sound effect all the time.
You sure are.
No way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not constantly, but I mean, every time you go into a dungeon, like it's immediately that. It's like your party is just like, really excited / pompous / self-assured something about going into the dungeon. I don't know.
Like at what point are they just not surprised anymore? Is it you hit the final boss dungeon? Oh, dude, it's been 70 hours, right? Like just.
Yeah.
We know what this spell does. Like you really don't, you're not illuminating the tapestry of the universe here. We just want to know where the treasure is.
Now, when you picked this game up again a few years ago, and found this. Did you remember these sound effects?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because I had never heard them until a few years
ago.
That
was a fun time.
And I just, you were playing this like across the room and I just turned and I had no idea what I was hearing.
You did.
And I was like, oh, I see you. Your wizard is casting like some like lightning magic or electrocuting his enemies.
No.
No.
Nobody's... It almost sounds like a synthesizer voice below the actual voice.
Yeah, it really does. No, he's just extra. That's okay.
All the sounds and voices in this game are so extra.
Yeah, I actually... So prior to recording, if you really want to laugh, I included like just a super cut of the like picking your party voiceover samples in this game, and they're pretty great.
Oh, okay, we'll put those in the show notes then.
And then we cut to that now.
It's me you want. Are you ready? How are you today? Hello. Good day. Hello. Hi.
Greetings and salutations. I'm the one you want.
Oh, not enough gold.
I'm tired.
I think what made this even better, though, is that like I used a default name for the wizard in this playthrough, and I think it gave me Zoltan.
Oh, Zoltan.
And
that is a Zoltan type sound. I was going to say a different word there, but that is 100% a Zoltan sound, let me tell you.
Yep, exactly. And just to make it even better, when he wasn't just ahaing, he was constantly dying.
So sure of himself, yes. But not really that skilled.
And I mean, that does tend to happen to the casters in the early stages of this game, but it was every time I needed him, I would have to leave the dungeon and resurrect him and come back.
BRB, busy napping.
Yep.
I'm desperate to know whether he made the sound effect upon resurrecting. Like he just walked.
I hope so. I'm sure the other party members would prevent that at some point. He gets kicked out and I have to finish the game with three.
You can't have the wizard anymore because he drove the rest of the party crazy.
Right. That is my very D&D-like experience with the sound effect.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
This makes me want to play Might and Magic 6 in a weird, surreal kind of way.
It's entertaining.
It's entertaining and like sort of impressive in the bits I've seen. Oh, yeah. Is it actually open world or just like a big expansive world?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was impressed when you were showing me walking around. I
mean, oh, absolutely. This
was primitive like, compared to today.
This was like early 2000s. Yeah. For its time, it was very, very impressive.
Yeah.
With cheesy sound effects. The other thing I wanted to talk about this is just kind of like the weird origins of some sound effects. Like I was looking at the creature sounds in this game too. A lot of them are alligator snorts. Let's see. This spider attacking is lion snorts. Another spider attacking is an ocelot hiss.
Wow.
So, yeah, they just used a bunch of animal sounds, which I think is really cool.
All right.
Possibly my favorite one is the harpy dying, which is badger grunts.
The harpy's a badger.
Yep.
The harpy is voiced by a badger.
Yep, grunting.
Okay.
Does it say that in the credits?
No, I wish it did. This is just another compilation I found where they kind of looked through like sound clips and like source and kind of did comparisons and figured out the sources for a lot of the sounds. But
what if it does?
I actually love this.
What if it does? We got to go find the credits or get to the credits and just see. it rolls the credits. You get to like the monster credit and it's like Harpy dying, played by, you know, Otis the Badger.
Okay.
Otis the Badger, let's go.
Okay, I was really hoping you would give him a name, so thank you. Well, yeah, I was going to suggest Buckaroo the Badger.
Oh, that's good, too. Well, I mean, if there's, but you said there's like multiple crocodile sounds, so like they probably have more than one. If you're going to have these animals
sure
in your studio.
I'm sure these are just like libraries of animal sounds.
No. I want to imagine that they had these animals in the studio. So you got to name them because, you're going to be friends with them at that point.
Buckaroo is a cartoon badger. Otis is a real ass badger.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, we got the crocodile family coming in just after lunch. Let's make sure we have them set up on the mics. Who's doing the boom for that?
Not me. I already did the lions. Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to share some of the kind of more goofy world of sound effects with this. So there you go. I hope you all enjoyed.
I never thought as many laughs as we got out of those sounds, I never thought we'd find a place for them on Rhythm Encounter. So
yeah, that's true.
Here we go.
You should be proud this day.
I'd like to just shout out punctuation. Because like this sound effect does not sound the same with a question mark at the end.
It's true. It just wouldn't land right.
No, or you could do a skeptical aha. It's true.
Yeah.
We'll also in the show notes put a super cut of every time that one of us said, aha!
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Don't make me do that. We had a whole outtake reel of just aha.
How about that second sound?
Yeah, so I think we're going to just probably throw that second sound in here again, because if you weren't paying attention, you probably missed it.
Yes, it is very short.
Yeah.
But so integral.
Exactly. So here it is again.
It's a horrible imitation.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave that in now. So one of those was the real sound and one was Hillary. Can you guess which is which?
Yeah, one isn't an old, slightly malfunctioning mnemonic tube, and one is just Hillary making weird noises.
All right. So what's the deal with this other little sound?
Ooh, okay. So this second choice.
I didn't mean to make that sound Seinfeldy.
You're fine.
What's the deal
with this blip sound?
Wow, we got a chorus.
Apparently, it just can't be resisted.
Yeah.
So this is the dark space entry sound from Illusion of Gaia. And it always intrigued me, but it's also like pretty important to the story and also kind of creepy if you hear it in every single context that you can in the game. I'm guessing a lot of our listeners probably at least know of Illusion of Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that you play Will, who is a boy exploring the world, following in the footsteps of his explorer father. He finds out he has psychic powers, and he finds out he is a knight of darkness defending Earth from extraterrestrial threats, sort of in the form of a comet that causes rapid mutations. It's a weird plot. But the point is, Will has access to a very cool celestial realm called the Dark Space, and there are just portals to it in all the towns, dungeons, you know, around. And this is the sound when you go up to it and go in. And I just love the idea that it's just kind of like sucking you in there. So there's that aspect of it. When you're in the Dark Space, you also eventually get the capacity to change form. So Will can transform into like an earlier hero in the world's history named Frieden, who's a Dark Knight. And then Shadow, who's kind of like a molten light firebird creature.
Oh, yeah. I always love playing as Shadow.
Who can melt through the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's OP. But you get him at the very end of the game. So it's kind of like this weird squidgy sound effect to get you into this like very powerful space. There's a cool like Gaia statue. She helps you. However, if you tell her that you don't want to continue your journey, that you'll hear that same sound effect as she just kind of like eats you. Like you kind of teleport and then it's just her.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, so a lot of old Super Nintendo RPGs had a kind of prompt like, no, I don't want to continue playing, so that you could safely turn the power off. Illusion of Gaia's was, Gaia will ask you, do you want to continue your journey? You say no, she'll say, then rest a while, and then you just hear that, you hear the sound effect again, and your character's just gone. And it's just the dark space and her slowly blinking at you.
That's so creepy.
She does not like you stopping.
No, and she's just, okay, we're just going to be here for all eternity. Like,
and she eats you.
I call it that because you were right in front of her statue, like when you disappear. So yeah, it does kind of feel like she like absorbs you or eats you in some way.
Okay, no, that's actually an important distinction because I had a lot of questions.
Okay, no, she didn't actually like break out a fork and a knife.
Well, no, I didn't even think that. It's just like
Looney Tunes style.
Yeah, throws you in a big cauldron.
Yeah, okay, fair. That did warrant more explanation. Really, it's a great sound effect in a game full of really fun sound effects. Like Will's hitting people with his flute, which sounds almost the same as a sword. And just some really satisfying like blocking sounds, like if you were trying to hit something and you can't hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And Will's flute music, which don't ask me how Will's flute is in playable condition.
After he's been around whacking people with it all day.
Right, exactly. But yeah, I mean, the sound effects of Illusion of Gaia, really the whole series, but I think for me, especially Illusion of Gaia, just really kind of help with the overall quintet, slightly uneasy but mysterious and interesting feel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was this all an elaborate way to get to talk about Illusion of Gaia more?
No. I just really like that. I like the sound effect.
It's a good sound.
It was on my part. I mean, I didn't choose the song for her, but when she was thinking about what to bring on, I was like, oh, maybe something from Illusion of Gaia, that game you love, that we're trying to make other podcasts about, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, all my other choices were a little bit too long, sadly.
For me, it goes back a little bit to what we talked about with Shadow Hearts. It's another one, like, this isn't something that exists in the real world that has a defined sound. Mm-hmm. So they had to just be like, wow, well, what's that going to sound like?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not like a creature attacking you where you could just hire a badger.
Otis, get in here. You're up.
That's true.
So what I'm hearing is, for all of our online daters out there, if you've already used the level up sound for you, the people that you're really interested in, the most recent one, this is the one you use for the people you are not interested in. Just blip them out of there, yeah.
Just swipe left and send them to the dark space.
Right.
Gaia will take care of them.
Oh, dear. Must have been a really bad experience, huh? I feel like there might be some middle ground between, like, I like this person too, I'm sending you to the dark space.
Not on Tinder, there ain't.
I actually have that. I have that song coming up. I guess we can do another. Yeah, so the first song there is integral to all of my growing up and car trips and camping trips. The Pokeball 1-2-3 is nostalgia central. Like, just, you know, where I was convinced as like a 10-year-old that if I held the B button hard enough, it would stay in there longer. And allow me, right? Like, and then, oh my gosh. And then the new games actually do a great job of this, where like it can pop out at the last minute. Like that second, you know, wobble. And then it feels like it's about to, you hear the click, and nope, 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 nope. And so I just think that those, you know, speaking of like songs or sound, yeah, songs and sounds that define a series, let me tell you, holy moly. Like the sound effect of the Pokeball has so many feelings attached to it, I think, for so many people. And each one of those wobbles, you know, is like hope and anxiousness and possible success. It's magical.
This really is another great example on this episode of like something we normally don't talk about, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a core, it's one of the most core mechanics in the whole series. And I think you made a good point too, that the more recent games have really like honed in on that, you know, now that they're 3D and stuff, like, so like the camera like slowly zooms in with each wobble, and then there's that, like, it continues to zoom in while you're waiting for that last, while you're waiting for that click at the end, like,
right? Yeah. And it plays with your expectations, like you just said, you know, over time they've gotten smart and there's that last minute escape now, or like when you maybe were in the earlier games, there may not have been that opportunity, so like they know.
Yeah.
Or there's like a critical catch now or something like this where it only wobbles once.
Yep.
And then just like, I remember noticing that because I ended up jumping from like basically Gen 1, Gen 2, and then like Gen 8. Mm-hmm. Like I missed a whole bunch of stuff in the middle for a lot of reasons. But I remember noticing it and thinking, wait a second. Like, where's the second wobble? Right, like thinking about like how those sounds and those songs create predictability, mm-hmm. and the fact that second wobble was absent was jarring.
Okay, I'm gonna say it. It's not enough wobble.
Yeah, the first time I saw that too, I mean, it's kind of it's jarring, but like also exciting because it's like, oh wait, that can happen now.
Oh, heck yeah! Right, super exciting.
You can say hell yeah, it's okay. If you were about to. If you weren't, then that's okay.
I'm still learning.
Okay. I mean, we don't want you saying like anything, but you can say hell. But you can say hell.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I just think like, again, in general, genre defining, you know, personal defining things.
yeah.
you know, a monster catching series, and you're going to use, you know, a sound effect to let you know some of the progress. Like, it's got to be short, sweet, simple, consistent, predictable, right? And then to have like the third wobble essentially result in like the catch or the click, just super, super important and really just genius sound work.
That click is like the most satisfying click in gaming.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah. It is the level up sound, right? Like, it.
Depending on what you're catching.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you and I have been playing a decent amount of Pokemon Go lately, at least on weekends.
Yep.
And when you're doing stuff like raids or you're trying to catch a legendary one or whatever, like, there's nothing you want more before you run out of opportunities in the special balls they give you on raids is to hear that sound.
Yeah, Pokemon Go really, really intensifies some of those feelings around the catch sounds. Mm-hmm. So it's probably good I don't play with the volume on super often because, if I had had the Pokeball sound with that Mewtwo raid that I pretty much cried about, that would have made it so much worse.
You didn't cry. You were just bummed that you didn't get the Mewtwo. And the guy with like four foams spread across his forearm got four of them.
He got a shiny, I'm pretty sure.
Well, yeah. Well, when you're playing like that, the odds are a little bit in your favor.
Did he have like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Dual disc thing with a phone in each slot? Or
there were no slots.
He was balancing them on his arm.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that's when I realized, like, we don't actually play this game too much. That person does.
Those are the hardcore people.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of fascinating that a Mewtwo and a Weedle get the same sound, same click, same 1, 2, 3?
Whether your Pokemon is, you know, like a 500 kilogram something or like a 0.2 kilogram Weedle.
Yeah.
It's all the equalizer.
Equal to the Pokeball.
Yeah.
I actually think that's, you know, the kids would say like low key kind of neat. That no matter how rare or powerful or stupendous or legendary or shiny, everything goes in essentially the same ball, the same sound, the same click is what we're looking for.
It's true.
I don't want to get too deep on the old April Fool's episode, you know, but.
Whoa. What do you mean April Fool's? This isn't an April Fool's episode. This is serious business.
Recant it. Recant it.
Take it
wobble
back.
Wobble, wobble.
There. Okay. Wait, no. No, that's doubling down on that silliness.
No, doubling down on the silliness was your magic sound, okay?
Yeah, that's true. I ruined everything.
Aha! The second sound effect, if you want to move on.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just going to check Pokemon Go now that we're talking about it.
Yeah, the second sound effect is, I joked a little bit off air, but it's only, you know, half a joke. It's a little bit trauma inspiring. Like, so that's, if anyone's unfamiliar with PlayStation 2, like maybe some of our gamers are a little bit more recent than that. But so, you know, short and sweet would be like back in the day, you'd have these things called discs. And your game would have to be on this disc. And in the PlayStation 1 era, you had multiple discs for a game like Final Fantasy 8. But if there was a scratch or even like a smudge on your disc, then this became a huge issue. And so I joke about trauma, but it's really like I can feel the sweaty palms. I can feel the angst when I hear that sound, the kind of like this almost like space, you know, type sound effect that it's like a rejection sound for me. Right. Instead of having the PS2 go whoomp across the screen because it read the disc properly, it's brought me back to this screen where, again, if you're unfamiliar with it, you know, you'd put the disc in, it would try to read the disc, and you would get like that, you know, PlayStation note, you know, flash across the screen. Yay, your disc works. Off you go. Or it would bring you back to what was like your memory card central. Shout out to memory cards. And it would be having this song playing in the background. And just, you're just drifting in space and your disc doesn't work and there's like no recourse. And so like when we were thinking, you know, sound effects and songs, one of the ones I thought of was, holy crap, like that sound that played was just sadness in a bottle because it was the notification that like my song or my disc like wasn't reading properly. I couldn't play the game that I was desperately trying to whatever.
Because you really didn't spend that much time in there otherwise. Like, there wasn't much other occasion to hear the sound effect.
No.
Like, yeah, almost never.
Console menus weren't the same back then. They were, right. They were still figuring that out.
Right.
Exactly. Essentially didn't exist, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, there was like a settings menu, which also, slight tangent, that little like crystal clock thing on the PS2, I always thought it was cool. There was some nice design touches there when you weren't hearing like dramatic sound effects.
And I think this, the association is like that much deeper if you, like me, had a habit of buying used games.
Oh yeah.
During mm-hmm. that era, because mm-hmm. you never quite knew.
Yep. Another thing that existed back then, disc cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I guess, do they still make lens cleaner? Because like, we still have lenses in these things. But I don't think they still exist. The little like CD that had little brushes on it.
Brushes on it. I remember that because that's what stopped me from hearing that dreaded PS2 disc sound.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was getting one of those disc cleaners.
Yeah, I mean, they worked.
My copy, speaking of Final Fantasy VIII, my original copy was only playable once I got that type of disc cleaner thing for, I think it was like disc 2. I couldn't get past a certain point on disc 2 because it would just, there was a mark on it that couldn't come off.
Oh no.
And I remember the first time actually getting past that point was exactly what you're saying, because of a disc cleaner.
Well, I wasn't sure what the goal was of bringing this on. I didn't realize it was the trauma. And there's so many sounds. You know, I found a video that had a bunch of like PS2 menu sounds. And
yeah.
I don't remember which is which. Like, which is like a good sound versus, well, the horrible, the really bad sounds are pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I guess, is somewhere in the middle. But I forgot exactly what each sound signified.
Yeah, this is our online dating middle ground that I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This one could just be like, hey, you know what? Your disc isn't quite working. It's just suspended for the moment.
Which way do you swipe for that? Because so far we've had a swipe left and right, and I don't think there's another option.
That one's you just swipe up and close the app and come back later.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Limbo.
I guess I could have led with this in some ways, but the PS2 and the PS1 specifically is my introduction to RPGs. It's like, those are the consoles I think about when I think about learning RPGs. And because the games that a lot of us enjoyed were so much longer, I felt like we, you know, as a fan or as a fanatic, we were felt more penalized when those discs didn't work. Because if it's just some kind of, you know, temporary platformer or even a racing or sports game, like, some of those can be overcome in different ways. But when a lot of the games we were enjoying were so linear and plot heavy, and you know, you can't just like skip one part. It wasn't an open world like it could be today, where maybe one area is glitched.
Right. Right.
And so that story, that is like the tie-in where, you know, from RPG fan music, that was the goal. You know, you're trying to get back to your characters, excuse me, and your story, you know, that you left behind the night before, and all you can hear is this dreaded like pew.
Yeah. And you really need to know what happens. I know that's what it always was for me. Like, no, I want to progress the story.
Yeah. See, after this, we got, you know, Yellow Rings of Death and Red Rings of Death. And, you know, me personally, I had the Yellow Ring. And at one point, I also got the Red Screen of Death, if it's actually called that, on my PSP when I was like 7/8 of the way through Valkyrie Profile.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I went right out and bought a used one. Actually, no. I was going to buy a used one. I think that's when I bought my Hannah Montana one, but that's a story for another day. Just because I needed to finish that game.
What? Are you sure that's a story for another day? Hannah Montana?
I mean, my favorite color is purple, and that was the only purple PSP that existed. It's not like I put put all the Hannah Montana like butterfly stickers on it or anything. I needed a PSP of some kind, and there was a purple one that came with a expectedly terrible Hannah Montana game, but whatever. I have a purple PSP. Do you?
It actually looks pretty dang good.
I like it. Yeah, it's really nice. It's like, it's a metallic too. So.
Oh no, I'm sure it's gorgeous. I just, like, I had to know the story now. I wanted to know.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I finished my my game about Norse mythology and, you know, saving the world from Loki on a Hannah Montana PSP.
Lenneth's outfit is purple.
Is Lenneth Hannah Montana?
No.
No, her alter ego.
Yeah, it's her third alter ego.
If Hannah Montana went to Norse mythology.
Yeah, yeah.
Something has gone very wrong inside you. Bria immediately comes down and smites you when you transform into Hannah Montana.
How did we get here?
I feel like that's my fault, I guess.
Does only Hannah Montana exist in the world? Like, do we even acknowledge the fact that there's an actress who plays Hannah Montana? Or does Miley Cyrus not exist in the game?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
Well, does she come in like a wrecking ball?
Her human life is like locked behind lots of very strange like values and triggers that you carefully have to monitor throughout the game to learn that, yeah, that Miley Cyrus exists.
I hope you're happy, Kyle. This is, you asked for this. I was just trying to casually mention my Hannah Montana PSP, but I guess I had to explain.
It's hard to casually mention something like that.
You knew that wasn't going to be casual.
Maybe I did.
Yeah, I'm with Wes on this one. There's no such thing as a casually mentioning. So I'm on my Hannah Montana PSP, and I had to finish this. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And yes, I've never been happier. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, so I guess we'll get into mine now. So I got a couple tracks for us today. So let's go and... Oh, crap. What does this person want? All right. So there were two sound effects there that you just heard. We're probably going to replay the second one, although I'm guessing some people caught it. But first, let's talk about the only song on this episode today that has an actual name that I know of, which is Start of the Search from Yakuza 0. This is the sound, we were explaining it, you know, off air between blocks to Kyle here, where I originally described it as the sound where when you pick up a side quest, but I had to rephrase that as it's more like when a side quest picks you. Because this is not a game where you go and like up to a character and be like, oh, I'm choosing to help you with this. It's more like I just stumbled across a very bizarre situation on the street, and I think this is going to turn into a quest. The little window pops up, it plays this sound, and you're like, well, I guess I'm doing this now. Now I got to help this mother whose daughter is stuck in a cult, or now there's a weird person making demands over a phone to leave weapons in a phone booth. And in the end, I get a new person at my club. you really never, never know what you're going to get. But they all start from this sound. I don't know, actually, Wes especially could answer this, but like, is this sound in the other games or do they have different sounds for the other ones?
There are variations on it.
Okay.
But it's kind of a staple. Something is expected at that point to let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Absolutely. And this particular one is used in several others.
Okay, great. No, like it really, there's a lot of fantastic music and familiar sound effects in Yakuza 0. I say 90 hours in now. But this one is really always welcome because I love the side quests in this game, no matter how off the wall they are. Actually, the more off the wall, the better, usually. They usually take a weird turn, usually for the better. There's only been a few where I'm like, well, I wish that hadn't ended that way. I don't think the guy who was looking for his daughter should be happier that he didn't find his daughter and instead is flirting with a girl at the club who looks like her. But, you know, so usually it ends in a better way. Oh, yeah, you didn't see that one.
No, I did not.
Hillary is looking very concerned right now.
Yep. For many reasons.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, this is what starts all of those side quests. And I don't know, like, the further in I got and the more, like, well, I don't think I'm going to 100% this game, but there's more things I want to do. So when I do find and stumble across someone who needs help, I've come to look forward to the sound now.
Definitely. It's its own type of satisfying.
I think it's interesting, like, you know, this we've we've remarked about how serious we are this episode, but how we keep coming back to the theme of genre, game, and series defining sounds. I think, what is more defining for Yakuza and Like a Dragon than the side stories?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Like, for every, you know, person that's in need that you can help on this side of the street, there's someone on the other side of the street that needs baby formula, and it's actually for adults. Like, it's just so,
you never know. You never know what you're
it's so out of control, right? And you know, so much, especially of the fandom, you know, around our site is on those side stories and how they're just so creative and wild and
right. Some
cabaret club organizing and
yeah, where you take down oppressive other clubs that are exploiting their workers and the public. But yeah, I mean, you never know whether it's going to be, you know, a touching story about helping someone accept themselves or Mr. Libido.
Well, yeah, that's definitely the opposite end of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet the song works for either one.
Right?
It sure does. That's the impressive part of it.
One's a Weedle and one's a Mewtwo.
They're all the same to the Pokeball.
Learn to distinguish just a little, maybe sometimes for your own sanity.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor Kiryu. Yes, this is internal monologue making that sound. Just this is how he feels anytime he runs across one of these situations.
I feel I like that. Yes.
A country western guitar riff.
Yeah.
Right. His subconscious incorporated that probably from TV or something.
Uh-huh. I want this song in future games at some point, at least in one of the games, to be renamed to like Here We Go Again.
That's Majima's version.
That's true. Yeah. This is really, really neither here nor there, but you know, one of the most recent times I heard this and playing is I fortunately came across the whole series of side stories with Miracle Johnson, and I can't believe I didn't know. I did not know about this at all until like last week, and that was something.
That's a good thing to uncover.
Yep. I can tell I've been really getting into this, and it's not just me doing it, but we probably should look at the last few episodes, and I'm trying to remember what the last episode of Rhythm Encounter that didn't have Yakuza mentioned. We definitely been going on having a theme lately, but
I mean, Yakuza gets mentioned a lot across podcasts, so I wouldn't worry.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, when's the last time we had a day go by in the RPG fan chat without mentioning Yakuza?
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. I'm just happy I'm starting to understand it now. So.
Okay, not to out anyone specific, but one of us has a wanted cat named Majima.
That's true.
I'm sorry, what?
That's amazing.
There's a staff member with a one-eyed cat named Majima.
No. Mm-hmm. That can't be real.
This is perfect.
It's real. I will tell you in chat who it is.
Yes.
I will take my answer off air.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no way.
Yeah, we need to. I think we need to go into one of our Slack channels and be like, ask people for fresh pet pictures, because I think a lot of the newer people do not know about the cool pets of RPG Fan.
That's true. We need to reorient and get updated pets of RPG Fan.
Yep.
I'm sure Majima would feature prominently.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of orienting, we need a cursor noise.
Yes. But which cursor noise? Will it be this one? Or this one? Or this one? Yes. So that, of course, is the cursor
movement. I'm sorry, did you just say of course?
Oh, I did.
Of course.
That's not allowed.
That's true. Well, I think in context, I don't think you say off course in a sentence like that.
No, it's a response option.
That's true. Yeah. I know what I'm about.
Okay. I just do not pass up an opportunity to.
No, I usually don't pass up an opportunity to do it either, because this is the way.
Yeah, see.
That has so many meanings now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, the cursor sound from Final Fantasy VII, the longest and most epic song on our episode today, which I've probably worked in like 6 times in editing because it's also easy to miss if you're not paying attention. Look, there it is again. This was one of the first ones I thought about for this episode, because on one hand, it's silly, like a lot of our choices are in some context, but also it's very memorable. Back when it came out, I played through Final Fantasy VII at least 3 times, and I long to have that amount of free time again, where I could play through a game like this so many times that I would max out the clock every time, because every time I went through, I did everything. So I heard this sound a lot, and it's just very familiar and nostalgic.
That cursor is iconic in and of itself. I mean, the Final Fantasy cursor goes so far as to be a pet in Final Fantasy 14.
That's true.
Any iteration of this cursor is going to evoke memories for Final Fantasy fans.
Let's also bring up the fact that this was, for many of us here in the States, our introduction to the sound of this cursor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's really a way to quantify it or like have a number, but you know, you can't really overstate how important Final Fantasy VII was to bringing RPGs, you know, to more of the world. So,
yeah, I mean, like, so last episode I was able to join you guys was the compilation of Final Fantasy VII, and one of the points that I made during the song was it Audra? I think it was Audra's song when we were leaving Midgar.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. Dear to the Heart, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I noticed, you know, one of the sounds that was absent was this cursor.
Yep.
Because every time I had heard that song up until that point in my life, I was choosing my party with that song in the background.
Yep.
And so this cursor not present during that song was something that I noticed that was actually missing.
It's a sound effect so powerful, its absence throws you off.
Yeah.
Truly, right? So, and I mean, when it comes to like quantifying the importance, and like you say, right, like how often do you, you know, flick through a menu, especially in a role-playing game, you know, with materia and equipment. Like, I didn't even know you could go back and forth between the materia and the equipment until like my 8th time playing through. You can just hit one button. Right? So I couldn't, this was definitely one of the ones I thought of too, Mike. And this is like, I can't even make words. Easily for me, one of my most iconic sound effects as a young RPG fan.
I remember that conversation too, and I wasn't even thinking about that when I chose this. So I'm glad that I helped you unintentionally play the long game with that.
Tying it all together.
Yeah, tying together a conversation from episode 128, which, by the way, you should go listen to. So
this has actually been a serialized podcast this whole time.
Plot twist.
Just wait for episode 148 when we finally answer a question that posed back in episode 65. Oh, don't you know the question? I guess you have to go listen and find out.
I'm seeing what episode 65 is.
No, don't do that. I don't know if there's an unanswered question at 65. I was just picking a number.
I'm just going to assume it's when is Silk Song coming out.
Also, episode 65... was the adventure game episode. I'm assuming the question is, will Hillary ever shut up about old adventure games? And the answer is no.
No, and we're all the better for it. Maybe you can talk about it again later this year when that remake of Riven comes out.
Well, I'm planning on it.
All right. I think that does it for today for our serious short song episode.
I feel like we really went deep today.
We honestly did. I mean, when I started thinking about this episode, I mean, it really was like, let's really play this up. It's like, you know, the cursor sound from Final Fantasy VII, it's like the first fraction of a second like pulls you in a little bit, but it's really the rest of that second that like puts things over the edge.
Makes it genre defining.
Yes. But you know what? As usual, everyone on the episode like came through, and we actually really did get some insight into these things. So even if we chose silly things to discuss, there were reasons for it, and I enjoyed all of our discussions today. So it's really hard to make a serious joke episode of this show. Like, even the karaoke episode, like, the concept was a joke, but everyone had fun.
So basically, never doubt us again.
I didn't doubt anyone. I just wasn't sure what was going to come out of this.
Oh, I was speaking to the audience.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a thought, there was an idea pitched many years ago of doing an episode about bad music and pretending it's good, but I've just never wanted to do that because that one really would have to be a joke. But it's just, I don't like the spirit of it, so I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit too mean-spirited, especially given that people were, you know, working hard.
Yeah, that's why I can't do it. I'm like, it sort of sounds funny, and maybe I'm being too serious about it, but I'm like, I don't know, I just don't want to.
It's just not our speed here.
You know, we celebrate music and cursor sound effects here, so.
And Arrogant Wizards.
So, I don't know. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll do another fun, weird thing next April, but I like stuff like this, so I'm glad it turned out the way it did.
Where else can you get meta commentary on Kazuma Kiryu's internal guitar, Western guitar dialogue?
Right. I'm telling you, that came from media somewhere. You just internalized it.
Yes. All right.
So because, coming next.
Yeah. Because this is a strange episode, you will not find our usual links in the show notes to albums and stuff like that. You will find links to some videos that I sourced for these sounds because, well, some of this was obscure. So I did want to give credit to where these came from. So thank you, various YouTubers who helped me find things like the Judgment Ring hit sound and the many people actually who uploaded all the bio sounds for PS2. I even found a video of someone who uploaded the sound and like noted like the pitch and like all these details about the sound itself.
Did they do that for the GameCube sound?
Oh, fun. I don't know. That'd be fun. I'll have to find. But yeah, so you can check our show notes for a reminder of all the sounds on this episode and our sources. But otherwise, that's most of what you'll find there. But that was our sort of jokey April Fool's episode. Coming next, as we talked about last week, is still an episode on remasters. I'm excited to hear that one. Solosi hosted that one for us, very kindly of him, and it sounds like it turned out well. So look forward to that next week on our regular schedule for Rhythm Encounter. And then 2 weeks after that, we're doing an episode on music to cook to. I imagine different people have different speeds in the kitchen, so I think we're going to have a fun mix of things. So look forward to that one. If you want to share your thoughts on this episode or future topics or anything else, you can email us at music@rpgfan.com. And if people want to contact you, Hillary, where can they go?
Email's the best way, and it's hillarya@rpgfan.com.
All right, and Wes?
You can find me on Twitter @WesEiliff or on Blue Sky @LoneWeasel.
And Kyle?
Yeah, Twitter is where you can find me, or X, whatever we're calling it, @KyleRPGFan.
If you enjoyed this episode of Rhythm Encounter, you should listen to all the others. But RPG Fan also has two other podcasts. We have Random Encounter every other Monday. Although technically, this is the Monday that Random Encounter posts, so later today, there will also be an episode of Random Encounter. The new episode of Random Encounter talks about Mars After Midnight, Lucas Pope's new game for the Playdate, and Dragon's Dogma 2. So that's Jono, and he's joined by Tim and Izzy to talk about all those. Over on Retro Encounter just finished a game journal on Final Fantasy IV, which is really exciting. That's really the RPG that got me into RPGs. And then later this week, there is an episode of a Musou Encounter episode. So I'm not sure how many games we're covering in that one, but
a good few.
A good few.
Okay. Yeah, look for Wes and I on there.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, be sure to check those out. Listen to all of our shows. Subscribe. Share with your friends. Also, you can find RPG Fan on most social media. You'll find us as RPGFan.com on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. We also have a Discord. All of these things are linked in our show notes. If you enjoy this episode, we would love it if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts or subscribe. Reviews and subscriptions just help get the word out there and make us more discoverable. We also have a website. We are a website, rather, rpgfan.com. And we have a shop. If you have not been there, We have two different storefronts on our shop. We have one side that sells merch. So if you want to get a shirt, more staff people lately have been getting merch. I keep seeing people being like, hey, I just got my RPG fan hoodie. I'm like, I didn't know you bought an RPG fan hoodie. But people have been really happy with them. The material choices on the clothes especially are very nice. So I've been really happy with our work with TeePublic. So go check out our merch. You can find that at rpgfan.com/shop. And along with merch, we have our first printed book, which is the RPG Fan Review Card Collection. We put that out in collaboration with Hyperplay RPG. So it's a printed book of just under 300 of our review cards that we post on social media. It's turned out really, really well. I've been looking at this thing since October, November, and I'm still so pleased with it. And I know a lot of people that have gotten it and looked at it and have been pleased with it too. So I'm happy people are enjoying it, and you can get your own copy on our shop page. We're hoping it continues to sell and do well, because we would like to do a volume 2 with even more. So go check it out. And that's all I got. Thank you all for being here. This was a lot of fun. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back next week with a regular episode. We'll see you then.
Thanks all. All right, so welcome to some ridiculous wizard nonsense.
Ah-ha! Ah-ha!
Ah-ha!
Aha!
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 So, Random Encounter focuses on Mars After Midnight, Lucas's Pokes.